and you're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. As I said, we're going to have a bit of a backgrounder with Alan Griffiths on what's going on in the Ukraine. Here we go.
Quite fascinating to go through the material that you sent me. I'm sure my listeners will be fascinated to get a real perspective on what's going on in the Ukraine. Can you begin by giving us one of the most disturbing elements is how long this process of building a framework for a legitimized war has been going on, using NATO as a cat's paw. Can you give people an understanding of what's going on there?
There's been a long campaign of demonization of Putin as well as Russia. Now, I'm not on the side of Putin, just like I was not on the side of Saddam Hussein when we all campaigned against the Iraq War. So we have a superpower, America, which wants to remain the number one superpower and wants all other countries to basically bow down to America. It doesn't want Russia to rise up. It doesn't want China to rise up. And so that's the game at play. The thing is, with NATO, their credibility has been seriously tarnished when they got kicked out of Afghanistan. So they really have to prove themselves now. So there's a real push, I believe, within the organization to try and show that they can stand up to Russia, even though it's a complete folly.
No, it seems like a strange kind of throwback to the Cold War. And I mean, you're a peace activist.
Yes.
Let's look at Ukraine. Ukraine is actually divided into two parts, east and west. In the east, you have the ethnically Russian Ukrainians. In the west, you've got nationalist Ukrainians.
They call themselves ethnic Ukrainians. So they speak the Ukrainian language. And so they are ethnic in a way. Well, they claim to have been there longer than the ethnic Russian Ukrainians, and they probably have. But they have always portrayed themselves as the victims of both Russia as well as Nazi Germany, when that's clearly not the case.
Which brings us to a very fascinating element to this, and which should really worry people a lot. So what you've got is a tragic intergenerational memory of the Stalin period of starvation that happened during the 30s. You've got the Nazi Germans turning up in 1941 and being welcomed.
Yes, as welcomed as liberators. What I didn't include in that piece is that when the fleeing communists, they were surprised that Germany was invading their countries, they committed a heinous crime called the prisoner massacre. Instead of taking tens of thousands of prisoners with them to Russia, into the heartland of Soviet Union, they slaughtered them. And in Lvov in Ukraine, a massive city, their prison was in the center of town. So when the Nazis liberated Lvov of the communists, fleeing communists, they found rotting bodies in the prison. Now, what happened next really sowed the seeds of the destruction of Ukrainian Jewry, of 1.5 million people. The many Jews were killed by the fleeing Soviets. But the Nazis saw this as an opportunity to use the Ukrainian nationalists to turn their rage on the Jewry in Lvov. And that's where the Lvov pogrom came from, 3 days of slaughter by these Ukrainian nationalists. And the Nazis were so amazed by the zealousness of these Ukrainian nationalists that they concluded that the only effective way they could really get rid of ethnically cleansed Ukraine of the Jews was to have the full input of these Ukrainian nationalists. And they went overboard. You've got the UPA, which is the Ukrainian Insurgency Army, now venerated as heroes in Ukraine. They were involved in Hitler's Holocaust, in slaughtering up to 300,000 people. They tried to cleanse the west of Ukraine, where they're based, from tens of thousands of Poles, Jews, and Russians.
People will probably, vaguely, if they haven't been following what's been going on in the Ukraine, realise that there was a uprising
Revolution of Dignity, which, of course, that's what the media wants to portray it, the Western media. But if you look at the detail, it was the complete opposite. It's a farce, and it's disgusting that this has been used to as an excuse to continue supporting this so-called democracy. It's not a democracy at all. One of the ultra-nationalist groups is called the Right Sector, and they got involved in this peaceful demonstration in Kiev. It was just pacifists and students. They got involved, and they're vehemently anti-Europe. They got involved to pursue their national revolution, which they did to full effect. And you may recall that on the streets of Kiev, there was global televised footage of protesters being shot. And this was all placed squarely on Yanukovych's government. But what has since transpired, that it has come to light that there were snipers flown in from Georgia, and their job was to shoot both the policemen as well as the protesters to get a body count of 100 dead. Now, the Svoboda political party, which is an ultra-nationalist party, two of their officials were informed by an American that the West would no longer support Yanukovych if they got up to 100 dead. So clearly, what they orchestrated had to be done in ultra secrecy, and the people who were running the Maidan protests were deeply involved in orchestrating this massacre.
The Americans, the commercial interests, we're talking about particular commercial interests we're talking about, have they're anti-EU because that is not useful to their economic interests or their power interests. So the breaking down of the revolution, the 2014 overturning of the democratically elected government has now led to what we've got now, really, isn't it? I mean, we get a lot of stuff in the Western media about how this is actually, it was a puppet government. It was really just pro-Russian, therefore not a true democracy. However, what they've got now is something that with many of the pushes by the United States power interests are some really quite interesting outcomes, isn't it? You know, so when the 2014 breakdown happened or change happened, there were some interesting outcomes, weren't there, that you might call quite unsavoury. So basically it's opened the door to overtly Nazi party, effectively, and there's a part of the official Ukrainian armed forces is a group called Azov, which is basically an extremist right-wing Nazi military outfit.
Yes, the Azov battalion has their emblem has the a wolf's angle, which was used by the invading Nazis as well as the SS and exterminating Russians and Jews and Poles, as well as the black sun, another Nazi symbol. And they have that on their emblem. What is particularly worrying is that the Western media have turned a blind eye pretty much to many hardened Nazis committing terrible atrocities against the ethnic Russian Ukrainians in the West. And I believe one of the reasons why we don't know about this is because our prized journalist for free speech is locked up in Belmarsh in England. And that has sent a clear message to the media that either you tell our story, our version of events, or we will come down on you too.
The information that is actually gleaned around Azov that is really quite fascinating, because the tactics of that particular group mirrors, and their relationship with commercial interests of the empire, effectively, are very similar to the connections between Muslim extremists of particular ilk. Like, it really doesn't matter. I mean, for the people who are involved in the ideological framework, one assumes they believe in white supremacy and the clash of civilizations, as they like to call it.
Yes.
They don't mind that it's anti-woman, it's anti-everything. It's anti-everything, effectively. But it's obviously useful as a tool, I presume, to cause chaos in this way.
It is. One of the reasons why it's believed that Ukraine was pushed to the West was for companies like Monsanto to have access to Ukraine's rich earth. Ukraine is known as the breadbasket of Europe, and its vast resources of growing wheat are highly sought after by GE companies. And just to show you where Russia lies on this, Russia is totally against GE technology. They've banned it.
Oh,
they've deemed it harmful to the health and environment. Yeah. They've deemed it harmful to the health environment. So to see Ukraine fall to the West and then plundered by GE companies, it's really sending really strong messages.
But if we look at the conflict as it is being played out at the moment, it's actually, there's some other quite hard-nosed realities that need to be understood, that actually the American build-up of troops and NATO build-up of troops, the fact that they're flying jet planes across there and that they've got their Navy fleet in the Black Sea. If Ukraine becomes a member state of NATO, then the other NATO states are compelled to actually involve themselves in a war, aren't they?
If NATO allows Ukraine to join, the thing is, Ukraine has a terrible reputation amongst NATO. They see it as even more corrupt than what it was before Yanukovych was overthrown. And they know it's full of hardened Nazis. There's a lot of internal politics we're not hearing about, but it's Americans who are pushing for this to be resolved as soon as possible. If Ukraine joins NATO, Article 5 stipulates that if Ukraine is attacked, then all other member states will come to their aid. And the thing is, the center of the new Cold War is right on the fault line of Ukraine and Russia. It's right on their border. So if Ukraine were to do what other NATO countries have done and install offensive weapons on their soil facing Russia, particularly nuclear weapons, then that cuts down the time Russia has to react. They have to ascertain, is this a false attack, is this a false alarm, or is this real? This is Putin's red line that the West must not cross. Now, I think that's everybody's red line, because if nuclear weapons are put on Russia's borders and they cannot discern if this is a real attack or not, then it puts everybody at risk.
There are mechanisms within within treaties to actually de-escalate this situation, isn't there?
There are. But the thing is, once you have a movement, an inertia happening, it makes it difficult to slow things down. the America pulled out of two very binding treaties to cut down on nuclear weapons, which sent a shiver through Russia. They needed those. They formed the bedrock of Russia's nuclear policy.
Yes.
So,
in fact, that was part of the Gorbachev push to remove, yes, to yes, stop this Cold War carry on, basically.
Yes, that's right. Now, Biden has made moves with Putin to renew one very important treaty to cut down on nuclear weapons. But at the same time, Biden is doing exactly the same as Obama, spending billions on making new bombs, which are even more deadly. So we're having a new arms race, unfortunately. When the fall of the Berlin Wall happened, everybody breathed a sigh of relief. The minute hand was pushed back on the nuclear doomsday clock. We all believed that nuclear weapons were no longer a threat, but unfortunately, they very much are. And they're even more of a threat to us if NATO does allow Ukraine to join them.
What do you think is going to happen? What are you thinking? What do you think?
Well, there's a link to thoughts by Scott Ritter, who is a UN weapons inspector during the build-up to the Iraq War. And he believes that Ukraine is years away from joining NATO. And I think he could be right. There is hope there, but unfortunately, the president of Ukraine at the moment, Zelensky, he got voted in, promising to enact the Minsk II Accords, which would allow the ethnic Ukrainians a federated state in Ukraine, so they could speak their own Russian language, have their own culture, but still be part of Ukraine. They're not interested in being involved in Russia. Now, this will be news to your listeners, but that's where they've been coming from. This agreement was agreed to in Minsk and Belarus. The US was not involved in these negotiations. Now, Zelensky's election is coming up, and he's high unpopular. And he knows many ethnic Ukrainian nationalists really want to go at the ethnic Ukrainians in Donbass. So that's the real powder keg. If he does send the Nazis in again, if he does send his army in again, then that may propel Russia to come to their defense. And then things could unravel from there.